This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
This morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Tuesday, the 25th of July, 2023, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. On the clock, we have conversations that help us understand and navigate a rapidly changing Bahamas. Will we finally get to have another World News Tuesday with Mark Palmer? But Mr. Mark Palmer is somewhere in the world with very, very low connectivity. So we're hoping that Mr. Palmer can connect with us for the show. We're talking immigration today on this World News Tuesday. But we got a little housekeeping to do before we get there. Let's start with a happy birthday to Mr. Alexio Ballou. Happy, happy birthday, sir. I hope you're having a great day wherever you are. And now on to our Sand Dollar Live read. Today, Tuesday the 25th, and tomorrow, Wednesday the 26th of July, central bank representatives will be giving out Sand Dollars at Super Value, Wolf Road, and Montrose Avenue. Show your Sand Dollar-enabled digital wallet at the door and receive $20. Spend $18 or more in Sand Dollars at the register and get $5 back when you leave the store. The offer is limited to the first 100 customers to show their Sand Dollar-enabled wallet at each location. One top-up per person, so as many people as possible can experience the Sand Dollar. For more details, visit any of the Sand Dollar social media pages or call 302-9880. That's 302-9880. And now on to our on-the-clock Sand Dollar giveaways. Every day for the next 3 months, we will be giving away Sand Dollars to digital wallet holders. Every day, two winners will receive $30 in Sand Dollars. To be eligible to win, you must have a digital wallet and answer the trivia question correctly. When you call in, give the producer your name and number, digital wallet provider, and your digital wallet address to transfer the funds to your digital wallet if you get the right answer. Listeners are restricted to one transfer for the duration of the competition. You can only win once. But to my faithful, faithful listeners and players, I am actively lobbying the central bank to see if we could stretch those rules a little bit. So here is the first question of the day. What is the common name in the Bahamas? What is the common name in the Bahamas for the fruit known as sweet sop? What is the common name in the Bahamas for the fruit known as sweet sop? The numbers to call, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, 242-300-5720. 242-300-5720 is toll-free for people in New Providence, in the Bahamas, but not in New Providence. Oh boy, I get a text here. If we discuss immigration, Bell will solve the problem. He'll solve the problem by giving everyone citizenship. Got another text coming in. Dear Texter, you got the correct answer. Let me know if you've played the game before I announce the correct answer. Producer. All right, I see calls on the line. Give me a moment to get to you. So today I want to talk immigration. That's all we've been talking. But I want to bring to you, before we sort of get into some local immigration news, I want to bring to you four immigration stories from across the globe that may or may not be relevant to the Bahamas. Let's start with my producers getting to the phone line. Callers, you guys hold on for me. Let's start with this one. Justice Department sues to force Texas to remove floating barriers in Rio Grande. This is a story from CNN, and it's in yesterday's news on CNN social media pages. The U.S. Department of Justice is suing the state of Texas over its use of floating barriers in the Rio Grande, which Governor Greg Abbott has argued is intended to deter migrants from crossing into the state from Mexico. The Justice Department is seeking an injunction to bar Texas from building additional barriers in the river and asking a court to order the state to take the existing barriers down at its own expense. In the lawsuit filed in the U.S. District Court in the Western District of Texas, the department alleges that Texas and Abbott, a Republican, violated the Rivers and Harbors Appropriation Act by building a structure in U.S. water without permission from the United States Army Corps of Engineers. The lawsuit further alleges that the floating barriers, quote, constitute an unauthorized obstruction to the navigable capacity of waters of the United States. We allege that Texas has flouted federal law by installing a barrier in the river without obtaining the required federal authorization. The Associate Attorney General Vanita Gupta said in a statement, quote, the presence of the floating barrier has prompted diplomatic protests by Mexico and risks damaging U.S. foreign policy, as well as poses threats to navigation and public safety and presents humanitarian concerns. The lawsuit comes after Abbott. Let's stick a pin there. I see I got a caller on the line and they've been waiting. Stick a pin right there. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
You called to answer the trivia question?
Yes, ma'am.
I'm ready for your answer.
The answer is sugar apple.
You are absolutely correct. The answer is sugar apple. I have got a winner on the text line as well. I want to thank you guys for playing. You got a digital wallet and you gave the producer information?
I did.
We are good to go. I want to thank you so very much for playing. I'm going to contact you after the show. To finalize the details to transfer your funds.
Thank you very much. Have a great day.
Absolutely. Thank you for playing. You have a great day as well. Okay, before I get back to this story, let me throw out the second question of the day. If the person on the phone line, they didn't call to answer the question, producer? All right, let me throw out the second question of the day. We know that sweet sop is commonly known as sugar apple in the Bahamas. What is the scientific name for sugar apple? And I'll give you a slight clue. Obviously, sweet sop and sour sop are cousins. What is the scientific name for the fruit sugar apple? The numbers to call: 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, and 242-300-5720. That's 242-300-5720. All right, let's get back to this story. This story in Texas is fascinating. I'm going to tell you why. Because, I saw bits and pieces of it on the news, American News, last night, and they were talking specifically about an instance where a family died tragically after being caught up in the razor wire attempting to cross the river. Again, the lawsuit comes after Abbott said earlier Monday that he would not be ordering the floating barriers to be removed from the Rio Grande in defiance of a Justice Department request. Quote, Texas will fully utilize its constitutional authority to deal with the crisis you have caused, Abbott wrote in a letter to President Joe Biden following the request from the Department of Justice last week. He said, Texas will see you in court, Mr. President. What's interesting about it is that the Biden administration says that this action has disrupted U.S. Border Patrol operations in the region, and it puts Border Patrol officers and migrants at risk, making their job harder, quote, unclose quotes. It is an interesting story, and it is a troubling story that such a measure would be taken. But to see the conflict between the federal government and the state government of Texas, it's very interesting. I want to follow it to see how it unfolds. Producer, I see we got another caller on the line. Let me take the first caller. Good morning. Okay, we're not there yet. We're going to get there in a second. Here is the second story coming out of Great Britain. Decent but basic, Britain's new barge for asylum seekers. And this story comes from Reuters, the 21st of July, 2023. Asylum seekers housed on Britain's new floating barge will find decent but basic accommodation, Immigration Minister Robert Jenrick said on Friday, as the government tries to handle the thousands of migrants arriving by small boats each year. Last year, over 45,000 migrants landed on England's southern coast, up 500% in the last 2 years, and 51,000 migrants currently being accommodated in hotels at a cost of £6 million per day, which is roughly $7.71 million U.S. dollars. Let me go to the phone line. Good morning, caller. You are on the clock.
Yes, hello. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
I'm fine.
Good.
I'm calling to answer the trivia question.
The second question, what is the scientific name of sugar apple?
Yes, ma'am.
I'm ready for you.
Okay, is it Annona squamosa?
Yes, you're right. It is Annona squamosa. Thank you very, very much for playing.
Thank you.
And the reason I did these questions today and yesterday is, what if we get to heaven and we could only get the fruit if we could identify it by its scientific name? What if you get to heaven and you can't have a sugar apple unless you know it is Annona squamosa? I just figure we should build our capacity just in case. Producer, we got a new call on the line? We're getting there in a second. Good morning. We lost that one. We go to the next one. Good morning, caller. Still there? I bet you're going to write down the scientific name of sugar apple just in case. Okay, good stuff. I got another text here, some texts. Whoo, those are interesting texts. No, ammonia is not the answer. Although I have heard that some people don't like sugar apple at all. To them, it is like ammonia. I pray for those people. All right, let's get back to this article, right? The barge will open its doors in the next 2 weeks to up to 500 single men claiming asylum. The barge, whose arrival in Portland on the south coast of England, has divided local opinion between those who say resources are already stretched and those who call it a floating prison and say refugees should receive a better welcome. It has become a powerful political symbol. Migrants will be designated a place in one of more than 200 bedrooms with metal bunk beds and televisions, aiming to spend less on migrants at a time when many Britons are enduring steep cost of living rises. Britain is also converting former military sites into accommodation and contracting more barges. Quote, the public don't want us to be housing migrants in expensive hotels. They want us to be using decent but basic accommodation, like the barge that has just arrived, Jenrick said in Portland. Footage from inside showed an airport-style security scanner and long ferry-like corridors, a large room with desks and laptops, a television room with armchairs, and a canteen. The barge's accommodation services director said residents would be free to come and go as they liked, and there will be a 24-hour security system in place, and residents would be required to sign a registration book when they leave and enter the premises. It's a very interesting story. British Prime Minister Rishi Sunak has made stopping the boat arrivals one of his top priorities heading into an election expected next year. His highly contested plan to make it easier to send asylum seekers to Rwanda is soon set to become law. I'll stick a pin there, producer. I see we got a caller on the line. I want to thank everybody for answering the trivia questions the same way. I got a text here. Aaron, question, should you be blamed for someone who gets injured or killed by your home barbed wire fence when they were trying to rob your house? The answer is no. Same thing applies to illegal immigration and security borders. Unfortunately, in the first instance, that's not the correct answer. And the second instance, that's also not the correct answer. Let me get to this call, and then we're going to delve into your text. Texter, thank you for the text. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Morning, Ms. Green. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How you doing?
I know you're always talking about fruit, but I don't think I'll get to heaven by the name you're using. You know, on the family island,
yes, ma'am,
we have a different name for everything,
yes,
even the flowers.
Yes.
But that's for.
Yes, ma'am.
I want to say hats off to the people who are working on the road. We don't give them any credit at all. Most of the show, they just complain about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the States, they have a certain hours that you had to be off the road from this heat. This is serious heat all day, you know.
Yes.
And then the other day, they had the road block off, and a guy came and hit him in his head with a rock. He had to take some stitches.
Yes.
The radio show don't talk about that. You know, those people, they're working hard on the road. Give them some credit, man. Give them some credit. And there's a serious heat out there. That's all I wanted to say.
Absolutely. Thank you for calling
in.
You must have heard the urge in my heart to critique them. But you made excellent points. Of course, the safety and security of any laborer in the country, people under the government service, is of utmost priority, but also the point you made about the heat and being restricted from road usage,
yes,
at certain,
man,
times of the day.
Out there, but we don't give them enough credit. We just complain. I used to do it when in my younger days, but now I realize how hard they work. They're working. They're really working.
Oh, yes. And it's, yeah, the people are working hard. They're focused on the people who are managing them and,
yeah,
causing,
yeah,
them to expend their energy.
In the heat, people are dying. They're dropping down, dying from heat exhaustion, you know.
Yes, ma'am.
You know, yeah.
Thank you so much.
But okay, I like your ideas for fruit, you know, but we have a different name altogether.
You have
we
to
have
know,
our own name.
You have to know all of the names. What
no, I can stick with, I too old to learn these names, which you can't even call.
Yeah.
I can stick to what I know.
But what if St. Peter don't let Grammy stand at the gate when we're coming in? Anyway, thank you so much, ma'am.
Thank you, Ms. Great. Okay, all right.
Let me just add on to what she said. The point that she made about other jurisdictions restricting access to the roads at certain times of the day in extreme heat conditions. The asphalt that we use melts in the heat. It can start to melt. So excessive road usage at peak temperatures can also cause or exacerbate, right? Stress the road surface. Now, when we have people who are doing things like driving in their 18-wheelers, but the legs, the supports are not contracted or retracted in the vehicle, and they bounce and hit the road, they cause dents that will begin to open into potholes if not quickly dealt with. For people who push their flat tire to the tire shop on the road, you are damaging to the road. To the boy who obviously was following orders, he was instructed to take the steamroller on the main road, not to put it on a lorry or a trailer to be carried to the work site. Even he can cause damage to the road surface in extreme heat. Producer, let's go to this caller. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Ms. Green.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
Okay, and yourself?
I am good, thank you.
I'm cold tonight up in the east. I've had a few conversations and a few. But, you know, Ms. Green, the Bahamian people are really, really getting upset, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Not only are these red shirts and these yellow shirts and this politician and the next politician and the judiciary and all the kind of things, but they are frustrated and then burdened down with this wave.
Mm-hmm.
Plus this thing they say coming off of Africa in the atmosphere.
The Saharan dust.
Yes. And, you know, I doctors are telling people that their eyes are running water. And you really can't notice it. Then you go out there driving around in your car with the windows open and things. That this thing is actually here, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wondered the other day, I'm driving around now in the car with a roll of toilet tissue or Kleenex in the car because I got to keep, you know, dapping my eye all day. And then when you're teary-eyed driving around the road with the sun out and the visor don't help you, it has caused you a little problem driving on the road.
Sparky, I appreciate the sentiment that you make in. I want to get back to my immigration story.
Okay, well, I was coming to that.
Yes,
I was
sir.
Coming to that. Would you know that there's a group of elderly people around me and your uncle's age that are actually getting together, not as a political party, but as a concerned group of Bahamians looking out for the future of this country, and the immigration problem is right on the top of the list.
Of things
and they're getting ready. Miles Monroe was a real leader, like I told people. And if he had made a point one day to say, we all meet at Clifford Park to march the Bay Street on our government. I mean, opposition and leaders. They wouldn't have been able to stop that crowd. We need a group that could get the Bahamians together to let our leaders know enough is enough and something they're doing wrong, because we're tired of people just going in there for one term and you hear from them no more. But they go in with $20 in their bank account and come out with $5 million.
Thank you, Sparky. I appreciate the point that you made. Absolutely. And this is the way forward. The way forward is that you support the work of government by creating citizen-centered action groups to lobby, to advocate, to do research, to organize, to strategize, to facilitate and to network, to allow others to network with other entities in the space. That's how we fill the gap to solve the immigration problem. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Yeah, based on this immigration problem, I have decided that I might decide to test the immigration problem in another country. Let me explain what I'm saying, okay?
Mm-hmm.
In the Himalayas, in a little valley there between India and China,
mm-hmm.
there's a country named Bhutan, Bhutan.
Yes.
Only about 800,000 people, but they have a ceremony every year. And every year they get tons and tons of mud, have a dance, like a rush out, and then they try to paint everybody black with the mud.
Mm-hmm.
And I try to get to the bottom of this, because these are people, you know, we trying to get, these people are just trying to get white.
Dear caller, you can call, listen, caller.
No, but follow me. I am going to see if I can. Now, getting there as an immigrant is difficult, even as a visitor.
Right.
Because they have someone there called the Minister of Happiness. You have to meet him.
Yeah.
No, see, this ain't no joke, you know.
So they don't let miserable people into Bhutan.
Are you understand what I'm saying?
I can understand it because I misery all day. And
so, no, serious, I got nothing else to do right now, so I got that on my list.
Yes, sir.
Because, okay.
Thank
now,
you.
No, but finally,
yes,
what
sir.
I would like us to do, if it's possible,
mm-hmm.
has the statute of limitation expired on our legacy debt with BPL, where we could challenge this in court now?
Okay.
And say that there was one time ago, there was a monopoly when this was in play, and it shouldn't stand any longer. What are the lawyers doing here for us, man?
Absolutely. Thank you, caller. That's an excellent point. Another space in which action, citizen-centered action groups to lobby, to advocate, to research, to pull information together in a way that it's accessible to the public that you want to support your advocacy initiatives, right? To shift the culture of consumers so that they can see that it's not an individual economic crisis that they're facing every time they look at their BPL bill, but it's a collective, national, systemic energy crisis that requires to participate in one form of or another to solve. Oh boy, text, that is a great text. I still want to get back to that text that I read earlier. Okay, so where we left off was Prime Minister Rishi Sunak from Great Britain has made stopping the boat arrivals one of his top priorities heading into an election expected next year. His highly contested plan to make it easier to send asylum seekers to Rwanda is soon set to become law. I think it has become law. I am going to read from another article that explains a bit what the Rwanda asylum seekers plan is. So here we go. What is the UK's plan to send asylum seekers to Rwanda? This is a BBC article from the 12th of July. It wants to send some asylum seekers to Rwanda, but the policy is unlawful. The Court of Appeal has ruled. The decision could itself be challenged at the Supreme Court. What is the Rwanda asylum plan? The five-year trial announced in April 2022 would see some asylum seekers sent to Rwanda on a one-way ticket to claim asylum there. They may be granted refugee status to stay in Rwanda. If not, they can apply to settle there on other grounds or seek asylum in another, quote, safe third country, close quotes. The government says the plan will deter people arriving in the UK through, quote, illegal, dangerous, or unnecessary methods, close quotes, such as on small boats which cross the English Channel. More than 45,700 people used this route to come into the UK in 2022, the highest figure since records began. Small boat crossings decreased slightly in the first few months of 2023, but numbers could rise again in the summer. No asylum seeker has actually been sent to Rwanda so far. The first flight was in 2022, but was canceled after legal challenges. And we are waiting to see how that unfolds. Is Rwanda safe and is the scheme legal? In June 2023, the Court of Appeal overturned an earlier ruling by the High Court that the Rwanda plan was lawful. The judges ruled that the East African nation is not a safe third country because of, quote, deficiencies, close quotes, in its asylum system, which means that some claimants could be sent back to their home countries where they might face persecution. It said that, quote, unless and until, close quotes, those deficiencies are corrected, removal of asylum seekers to Rwanda is unlawful. The ruling also said that the Rwanda policy breaches Article 3 of the European Convention on Human Rights, which prohibits torture and inhumane treatment. It was not a unanimous decision. Two judges agreed to reverse the High Court decision, but a third did not. The judges said their decision does not imply a view about the, quote, political merits, close quote, of the policy. Asylum Aid, the charity which brought the case against the government, said the judgment was a, quote, vindication of the importance of the rule of law and basic fairness when fundamental rights are at stake, close quotes. The UN's refugee agency, which advised the court on matters of international refugee law during the appeal, also welcomed the ruling and urged the UK government to pursue other measures instead. But Home Secretary Suella Braverman, disappointing, and Prime Minister Rishi Sunak confirmed the government will seek permission to appeal the decision to the Supreme Court. Now, this is interesting. As a part of the plan, Rwanda will initially be sent 1,000 asylum seekers But under the deal, Rwanda can also ask the UK to take in some of its most vulnerable refugees. But in October 2022, the Privilege Style, the airline which was scheduled to take asylum seekers to Rwanda, withdrew from its home office contract. All right, I'm going to get to the text. I got a couple more articles I just want to reference. The next one is this. UK government's contested illegal immigration plan to become law. Rishi Sunak's highly contested plan to make it easier to send asylum seekers to become law after the government defeated attempts by Parliament's upper house to make changes to the legislation. This is the 18th of July. So the prior article was the 12th of July. By the 18th of July, the bill had become law. The Illegal Migration Bill is what it's called. The Illegal Migration Bill 2023 UK had been stuck in a battle between Parliament's House of Commons and the House of Lords, Britain's unelected upper chamber, which had repeatedly made changes to the legislation to water it down. But eventually it passed, and it has already received, I think, the King's assent. This particular bill is being protested widely across Great Britain. And one of the protests is that the government will actually be spending more money to deport or remove migrants and seekers than it would be spending if they received them and processed them in the UK. It's another very very interesting article. Here is here's the next story. This one we're going to head over to North Korea, but just to the border, because we know you can't just visit North Korea like you can just visit the Bahamas. U.S. soldier facing disciplinary action flees into North Korea. Another Reuters article, 18th of July, 23 this year. An American soldier facing disciplinary action fled across the inter-Korean border into North Korea on Tuesday and was believed to be in North Korean custody, U.S. officials said, creating a fresh crisis for Washington in its dealings with the nuclear-armed state. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin expressed concern who the U.S. military in Korea said joined an orientation tour of joint security area between the Koreas and, quote, willfully and without authorization crossed the military demarcation line into the Democratic People's Republic of Korea. The U.S. Army identified the soldiers Private Travis T. King, who joined in 2021. There's a lot that we are still trying to learn, Austin told a news briefing. We believe that he is in North Korean custody, and so we're closely monitoring and investigating the situation and working to notify the soldiers' next of kin. The crossing comes at a time of high tensions on the Korean Peninsula with the arrival of a U.S. nuclear-armed ballistic missile submarine in South Korea for a rare visit in a warning to North Korea over its own military activities. Now, that is a story I didn't think I would be reading again in my lifetime. Because I got text that it says, let's be real, no one but our friend Dennis Rodman wants to go to North Korea. But I tell you what, I know historians, researchers, scientists, these are people who would love an opportunity to enter North Korea safely to document the lived experiences and historic experiences of North Koreans as a part of their work. So I'd say that, but I can't imagine how a private Travis T. King, who only joined the military in 2021, why or how he would be compelled to what appears to be defect to North Korea. Anyway, this is a fascinating, fascinating story. And all four of these stories, the Texas Federal Department of Justice conflict between the razor wire barriers in the Rio Grande to Travis T. King, U.S. soldier facing disciplinary action flees into North Korea, and the floating asylum barges, and then down to Rwanda for the asylum seekers plan. So we can see across the globe, we are facing issues around migration. Migration is a natural function of the human experience. And it's happening everywhere. I think the real crisis is in how we manage migration. That's not to say that we're not having issues with immigration and migration in the Bahamas. Obviously, we are. But my question is always, is the crisis the migration itself, or is the crisis our inability to manage migration, our inability to manage migration in a way that acknowledges the inalienable human right to a life free of violence, acknowledges our domestic and international ethical, legal, and moral obligations to acknowledge and defend human rights, right? And equal and equitable access by Bahamians to the systems that are supposed to primarily serve them. Producer, let's go to a break. When we get back from the break, I'm going to get into the text, and then we're going to look at just briefly look at some of today's headlines in relation to immigration. You guys, you tuned into On the Clock with Aaron Green. I'd like to thank you for tuning in so far. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after this break.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Again, thank you to all the texters today for that Sand Dollar live read earlier today. Remember, today and tomorrow, Sand Dollars will be given out at Supervalue Wolf Road and Montrose Avenue. I re-emphasize it right now because this is the last Sand Dollar giveaway in this particular promotion. For the time being, this is the last location, and so I'm encouraging everybody to take advantage of it. A text. Okay, let's get to that question. Aaron, question, should you be blamed for someone who gets injured or killed by your home barbed wire fence when they were trying to rob your house? The answer is no. Same thing applies to illegal immigration and security borders. Okay, let's get into that. The text also says that they think that the Rwanda asylum program by the UK government is brilliant. We need this in our country. Well, there's lots to delve into. I've been talking about this UK-Rwanda asylum plan for a year and a half now. And across Britain, people are raising serious concerns about it, including the question of whether Britain can afford it. B, and whether we are, on one hand, inhumanely and cruelly treating migrants and refugees, right? And in the other hand, at the same time, sorely disadvantaging locals, British people, by spending the resources necessary for collective national development on a migration program to send people to another country. I don't know. Let's throw it out on the table. But let's get back to the first part. Actually, there are degrees of blame or liability if people are injured on your property, even when they are trespassing. Even when they are trespassing, there is a degree of responsibility that a land or property owner has in terms of the safety of the property. Like, for instance, are you not allowed to electrify your fences? I think it's against the law to make electrical fences. And if it's not strictly against the law, I think you may require permissions to do that. And in the same way, the same thing applies to immigration and security borders. For instance, Defense Force officers, when they observe migrants on the seas, the high seas, and migrants are in the water, they have an ethical and a moral and I think a statutory duty to attempt to rescue them. They can't just say, hey, you know you shouldn't have been trying to sneak into the Bahamas, and you know you can't swim, and so if you drown, you drown. No, sir. No, sir. I don't want to say the law is more savvy than that, but the law is more nuanced than that. In fact, if somebody is on your property, somebody has trespassed, and you suspect that they're breaking into your house, right? You're not allowed to shoot them or injure them because you suspect they're trying to break into your house. You just can't. So there are some rules. There are some rules about it. All right. Let me read some of the headlines today. Front of the Guardian, Pintard tells House of Immigration, quote, violations. Free National Movement leader Michael Pintard told the House of Assembly yesterday of multiple immigration violations and read into the record a Bahamas Immigration Department report that said that the minister approved a work permit for someone on the restricted list a day after that individual was deported for overstaying. The report Pintard read into the House record from an immigration official stated, quote, subject arrived in the Bahamas on June 30th, 2019 and was landed for 90 days. He received extensions until January 2020. And we go over to page 8. I just want to finish that sentence. And was arrested on October 11, 2022 for overstaying and was deported. 22. Work permit was approved on October 17th, 2022 by the minister. No decision letter scanned, issued, and collected October 18, 2022. Please, there's a smudge on the print. Please, missing word, that instructions were missing word to restrict this individual. Another article, minister accuses Bell of dishonesty over funerals, citizenship swearing in. So 2 points I want to make before I get to the end of the show today. Yesterday, we talked a bit about immigration. I know we're going to talk a bit more about immigration on Wednesday. Now, maybe the best day to talk about immigration is on Thursday, because then the Minister Keith Bell will have spoken in the House of Parliament, and that would give us time to read from the media and get a clearer sense of what he said. But I have a problem with having to wait, and I'm going to tell you why. Wait until Wednesday for Keith Bell to answer these questions. Well, it was put to us yesterday by Texter that we don't understand parliamentary protocol, and question and answer day is on Wednesday, and that's how we have to, why we have to wait. I want to put it to the Texter, to Keith Bell, and to the PLP party and the FNM opposition, because they always listen in. I don't want Keith Bell to answer these questions in the House of Parliament. I don't think that Keith Bell, at this point in time, deserves the protection of Parliament to make these statements. In fact, I think the matter is far too serious for him to be allowed to assume that privilege and speak in the House. Why won't he make this statement outside of the House? Why won't he answer these questions outside of the House? Are members of Parliament now using parliamentary privilege to protect themselves from things they should need no protection from? Anyway, that is what concerned me. Why do I have to wait until Wednesday? Is it so that he can assume the privilege of speaking in Parliament when answering these questions? And do we not deserve more? What is the point of the weekly press briefings, the new press office? Why wouldn't Mr. Bell be called to answer the questions in that space? Now, I see there's another headline quickly from the Tribune. It calls for greater transparency on irregularities with Chinese workers. Another article, former minister, intervention could have been unlawful. Intervention could have been unlawful. And the headline, Did Bell Tell Truth Over Citizenship? There's another article in here, More Leaks of Immigration Irregularities with Chinese Workers Revealed by COI. And then I realized yesterday we missed the big, big news. Why did Keith Bell have a motorcade while Pintard had a protest in the rain? And still the COI remained the same. A one-man, one-woman band. Why was there a motorcade? Was it in response to the FNM planned protest? Or did y'all just plan to do this anyway because not all superheroes wear capes like Super Grover? And why were PLP protesters outside the court complex? Why, dear PLP, what are y'all doing? What are you doing? Anyway, we're all out of time. I think we're going to pick this up again on Wednesday and touch again on it on Thursday after we see the minister's statements in print. I'd like to thank you guys for joining me today. I'm taking down the text information for our winner. And Mr. C.A. Newry, Guardian Radio AM, is up next, Bahamas. Have a wonderful day.